Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special Wednesday edition of Crush to Judgment, where we are not going to crush a film, Noel. What are we going to crush?
A series.
That's right. This is an ST3CTG.
Whoa.
You like that?
Did you practice that in private, in the mirror?
Well, no.
In your alone times?
No. I do other things in my alone times.
Well, there are many things one can do in their alone times.
In front
times.
Of the mirror.
Yeah, I'm excited, dude.
All right. So Stranger Things is a TV show, Noel, on Netflix. We've had quite a few people on this show that work on Stranger Things. We've had and we got called out by the Netflix PR department for having guests on to talk about their show and promote it.
Without clearing it.
Without express written permission. We've talked about that before. No need to rehash all that. But, no, I say let bygones be bygones, and we will still talk about this TV show and promote it as best we can because it's really great. And here's my deal with season three, and we'll get into it. Good, not great, is my review overall.
Interesting.
What's yours?
I liked it a hell of a lot better than season two.
See, I really was a fan of season two. It's interesting.
I realized in watching season three that I didn't remember as much from season two as I would have thought.
Sure.
I remember lots from season one. I remember bits from season two.
Uh-huh.
I remember Bob, R.I.P. Bob.
Yeah.
I liked Sean Astin.
Yeah, great.
But the plot was a little more amorphous to me. But this one, it kind of like knew what it was doing, and it kind of like hit the ground running.
Yeah.
With the Russians. I liked it, mm-hmm. You know? It was silly, but the show's silly. It's a silly show.
I think the more I have gone over season three, the more I do like it because my problems with it can be vanquished just by saying, Chuck, just don't think about it. Just watch it.
Well, yeah.
Because part of me was bugged. I was like, what, the Russians? Like, seriously, they built a underground research facility in Indiana and no one knows? How did that happen? What are the logistics like? And then I was like, dude, you can't do that with this show.
No.
Just exactly. Go with it.
It's literally like the tropes are half the fun.
Yeah.
And the moment you start picking those apart, then it stops being fun.
Yeah, I mean, I will mention the few problems I had. That's one problem. I thought they crossed the line a bit with the fan service and the 80s nostalgia trip.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little too heavy-handed at the expense of story. Like, you know, the scene with when they talked about New Coke, like the only reason they put that in there was as a just sort of like, hey, everybody, remember New Coke?
Well, not only that, it was a product tie-in. They re-released New Coke.
Oh, no, I know.
As a, yeah.
In
yeah,
March.
Yeah.
I saw New Coke t-shirts
exactly,
online the other day.
Exactly.
And it just didn't like, just stuff like that. It was like, hey, let's put in a thing about New Coke. Doesn't advance the story at all, but, you know, I don't know. That bugs me.
It gave the kids a moment to talk about nerd stuff, you know, because I think one of the kids really liked it and the other kid didn't get it.
Yeah.
And that was, I don't know, you didn't.
It bugged me.
It bugged you, huh?
But, I mean, that's not enough to ruin a TV season, to be sure. Things I loved, Noel. I loved the shopping mall summer thing.
Right, which is Gwinnett Place Mall.
That's right.
Here in the Atlanta metro area.
That's right. I texted our old friend Craig, who was on this very show, worked in the art department, midway through an episode. And I was like, where'd you guys shoot this? Texted it right back, Gwinnett Place, out near my mom's house.
And so is that like, did they take over that mall? Is that a dead mall? Like what?
Oh, it's not a dead mall, which I thought they did. I was like, what dead mall did they use?
Right.
Because my first thought was the dead mall. Of all dead malls over North DeKalb.
North DeKalb.
Which is, I worked at the Gap
it's
there
only
like
half
25
dead,
years
though.
Ago.
It's still kicking.
Yeah, it's half dead. It's literally, gotta, like 50% of the stores are closed.
Right. And it has this weird outlet store, like furniture store where everything's always on pallets wrapped in like shrink wrap. It's very strange.
The weirdest store.
Yeah.
In the weirdest mall.
It's a very weird mall. They have a paint-your-own pottery place, but we digress. Malls are weird in general.
Yeah, but this one, like, it's worth visiting as a tourist just to see how
it's also cool, too, because you can see a blockbuster movie there for $6.
Uh-huh.
And the theater also has, like, more Bollywood movies than American movies because the neighborhood is very heavily
I mean, that's
Indian.
The closest theater to me, so I will go there.
Sure.
Sometimes.
I've been there plenty. I love it.
But yeah, why is it so cheap?
It doesn't make sense.
I think it's cheaper than other AMC theaters.
No, it's way cheaper. It's $6 like for
a
for
an matinee
adult
is
ticket.
Like $3.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's like the 80s all
it's
over.
It's not
again.
A dollar theater. It's not a bargain theater.
No, yeah, first run.
It's first run.
We digress.
We digress. But malls are weird is my point. And I think this is like the classic premium mall of the 80s that we're seeing in the show, where it's like this, you know, oh, the future is here in Hawkins now, you know?
And the meeting place of all meeting places
exactly,
for teenagers.
To be seen and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got the Jazzercise, which I didn't realize was a brand or was a store. I just thought it was like a class that you took.
But well, it is.
But they had
was
a branded
a
they had a branded storefront for it in the show.
But wasn't it a studio where you go?
Well, they, no, I don't mean the store. I just mean like it was like a storefront in the mall called Jazzercise.
Oh, sure.
I didn't realize that was a thing. I thought it was just a popular style of aerobics
I gotcha.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I guess it was a formal like a what would you call it like the shit people do now.
Oh, like you know. Pure Bar Array or something like that.
Or
like
or what's the one where CrossFit
hot,
or
CrossFit
something like
or
that.
CrossFit or hot yoga, but it was like very specifically branded Jazzercise.
Right. We're clearly two guys who work out a lot.
Totally. I got my leg warmers on right now.
So I did love the mall experience. Uh-huh. I thought the 1985-ness and the summer thing, because, you know, usually it was like around Halloween and fall creeping into winter.
Right.
So it was fun to see the summer and the pool scene and stuff like that. And I think they nailed it. One of the biggest things that annoyed me was the story. You know, they divide into three storylines, basically three different groups.
That's right.
That are all doing their own thing.
Yep.
And the group that bugged me was the one with Joyce and Hopper.
Yeah.
They just, I don't know, man. Hopper bugged me this season.
You told me. You said you thought he was too aggro and kind of grumpy.
He was I mean, I know he's sort of the grumpy sheriff, but he was to me far too grumpy. Bordering on unlikable, and that's not Hopper. Like we like Hopper.
Yeah, but he had a bone to pick with something.
Well, he got initially upset because Eleven and Mike were always kissy facing.
Well, for sure, but that wasn't enough to warrant how angry he became at like everything and everybody.
No, I agree.
You know,
it was a little out of character.
He didn't have as much of a motivation because, like, you know, there were previous seasons where shit was just going wild. And he was bummed out about his daughter's death and stuff. None of that was happening for him in this one. He was literally – here's another problem I had. I had a problem with this. People literally acted like none of the events of the previous seasons had taken place.
Yeah.
And you know, in terms of like being triggered by stuff or like it's certainly possible that some fucking weird shit could be going on again because of, you know, the last two seasons of the show. Yeah. But Hopper's like, Joyce, you're crazy. Shut up, Joyce. There's no way there's some weird stuff happening here in Hawkins. Right. That would never happen.
That's
you know?
True. That was a little weird.
There was a lot of that.
Yeah. And the whole and I know what they were doing. They were sort of taking a moonlighting approach again with the 80s nostalgia with their relationship. Like, will they or won't they? But I didn't buy it. Like, she was still so heartbroken over Bob.
Right.
And, like, there was no chemistry there. It seemed very forced, their will-they-or-won't-they relationship.
And Hopper just comes off as kind of a schlubby kind of cretin in terms of, like, you know, the way he reacts to her being late for the date and stuff. He just gets so blows up and was just a total dick. And it's like, she's got no reason to give him another shot, you know?
I know.
Like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, so that storyline kind of bugged me. I will say, though, that once Gelman comes on the scene.
I love him.
And
Alexi.
Alexi.
Yeah.
That it picked up a little steam there.
Totally.
Because Alexi, I mean, we hate to see him gone, I think. I think everyone loved Alexi.
Alexi. My kid is in love with Alexi. She's like,
he was so great.
She's like, one like equals one Slurpee for Alexi. She posted like all these memes. My kid is so into this. We watched the whole thing when it dropped like on July 4th. In a day, and then we
in one day.
In one, we watched most of it, and then we watched like the last two the second day. But we were both obsessed, and we watched it together, and it was great.
So that's one storyline. The other storyline you have is Steve. They pair up Steve again with Dustin. and a new character, Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's daughter.
That's right.
What was her name in the show here?
I think Robin.
Robin.
No, did I make that up?
Maybe. Yes, it was Robin. And I thought she was really good.
Great.
Love me some Steve. He's my favorite character on the show.
He's so likable, and he was such a dick.
So likable.
And I think they realized that the actor, whose name escapes me right now, the Duffer Brothers.
Keery.
Yeah. The Duffer Brothers, the creators of the show, realized he had something. And so they wrote more stuff for him. They wrote a redemption arc for him because he was like such a fan favorite.
He's so funny. I love the one line he has in this season about his hair being his best feature or whatever.
Right.
Like he has to wear the hat.
He wears to wear the hat, yeah. And also, like, he keeps getting turned down because he's, like, by women at the ice cream shop because he's,
that
like,
goofy outfit.
He's wearing this goofy sailor outfit, and he has no real prospects for the future, and he knows this, you know, but it's great.
Oh, man, so good. I really liked her character, and I really think where they surprised me was doing the non-obvious thing and having Steve and Robin hook up by making her gay.
Yeah.
I thought that was really it subverted a trope.
It was wonderful. It was great. Because it wasn't forced at all.
No.
And it absolutely made sense.
Yeah.
And it was a twist, like where you were like, she's obsessed with Steve.
Right.
But she's actually only obsessed with Steve because her crush is obsessed with Steve.
Right.
She's like, what does he have that I don't have? And she's obsessed with him in this different way.
But
and
they're
it
just pals.
It strengthens their friendship.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a real bond between them. And they have this, like, where they're on truth serum or something and they're
right.
like on the bathroom floor and they're puking and that is such an awesome scene.
Yeah, that was good.
It was just good writing.
I enjoyed their relationship.
It was so cool. I
love that. And at the end of the season, I think when they go to the video store.
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah.
Like he's got garbage taste.
Right.
But that's what makes him, you know? And
I really
she totally backs him up and she's
totally
like this.
That.
Oh, I read something too, and I agree. She is an example of sort of like the brother, Will's brother in the first season, of an 80s person that's not just a cookie cutter 80s person. Like she's into like foreign films and like more like punk type music and stuff as opposed to like, you know, the flavor of the week kind of 80s stuff.
Right.
So she represents that.
Yeah.
In the same way that the brother did like in the first season.
Yeah, I thought she was good, man. She's a good actor. Good pedigree, interesting look. I'm down with it. I'm down with Maya Hawke.
She's a hawk. Got it.
Yeah. She had occasionally she would turn her head, and I'd be like, man, Uma Thurman, you can see it right there.
That's so funny. I actually just read that a couple of days ago. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. I liked Dustin again. I liked Dustin again. A very lovable character. He had a nice character arc, I think, with having the girlfriend. Is she real or not? But I have to say, Noel, the part that gave everyone so many feels, the never-ending story thing.
You didn't like it.
Well, I didn't see the never-ending story, so I had no idea what it was. And so it was lost on me, and so it seemed like it drug on forever, and I was like a little indulgent fan service. But people, it's special to them, so I get why they did it.
Yeah, so the never-ending story for me was a big deal. It was a movie that kind of creeped me out when I was a kid. There's a lot of kind of like spooky things in it that for like, you know, like a 10-year-old or 9-year-old or whatever would have been a little bit much. There's a really depressing scene where there's a character named Atreyu who has a horse and the horse dies tragically sinking into the swamps of sadness.
Oh, God.
And it is like one of the most like, oh, there's your childhood ruined for you right there, you know?
Sinking into a swamp.
Yeah, it's literally a horse slowly sinking into this like murky, kind of toxic looking swamp as Atreyu cries and begs for him to not die.
Wow.
And yeah, so that was a big one. So yeah, that was a big movie for me. And that song is, you know, Giorgio Moroder did all the music, and it's the dude from Kajagoogoo, I want to say, doing vocals, Lamel.
Uh-huh.
But it was totally indulgent, but I loved it.
Yeah, I get it.
It was also a big time waster. They literally were like racing the clock,
and then they're
going to sing the whole fucking song.
That's what bugged me is it just went on for too long. But fine, I get it. Again, didn't ruin anything for me. And I will say that those walkie-talkies they used, I had that exact walkie-talkie.
Not that kind of range.
So, well, no, I'm just saying nostalgia firing off and my brain snaps.
What would the range have been on that model?
I don't know, man. I don't remember. I mean, probably not more than 100 feet
or something.
That's
what I'm saying.
Right?
It certainly seemed like they had some magical walkie-talkies.
Oh, yeah.
But again,
you just got to
suspend that disbelief, baby.
Yeah, suspend everything for this show. And then you have your third group, which I guess is Nancy and Jonathan, and the whole subplot with Billy.
And with the Billy. Which ended up kind of being a biggie.
Yeah.
That the whole Nancy Drew, you know, crack reporter kind of thing. That was fun.
Her hair was great.
Her hair was great.
They really nailed it.
They really did. And
Jonathan wasn't sort of underplayed this season, I think.
He was just not in it very much. Yeah. He was kind of a non-entity, you know? He didn't really do anything important. He just kind of backed her up, which is nice.
Well, what's interesting is it sort of was a subversion of the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of only there to assist her character.
That's right. That's good. That was smart. That's good.
And all the dicks, Jake Busey, he was one of the dicks in her office, right?
I love him as a psychopath, you know?
Yeah, he got his, though.
He totally got his.
Yeah.
But that was the reason they hired him, is so that he could be a total, you know, skulking, slack-jawed psychopath.
Yeah.
When he finally got turned into a monster.
Yeah, yeah, thing, you for know? Sure. What was your opinion of just the whole thing, though? I mean, Russians aside, the flair or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, my take was like, I need more in season four than just another bigger monster.
No, I agree.
Like, they can't just get bigger monsters and expect that to be the thing.
Well, and also, like, spoilers, obviously. You know, they end the season with you feeling like Hopper is dead.
Right.
Because there's this giant explosion with the Russian death ray they're using to open up the portal.
Right.
And my whole thing is like, why are they trying to open up the portal?
Who, the Russians?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. That's the whole thing.
And I was talking to my friend, and it was sort of like, you know, it was the Cold War. Any upper hand was the upper hand. So maybe if they could figure out a way to open the portal, they could use the things that came out of there for their benefit.
Sure.
Because you have a post-credit sequence where there's like those hell dogs or the demodogs or whatever they have like obviously hung on to or pulled out of the portal. So maybe that's it.
And they said whatever, not the American.
Not the American. So they, you know, they act like Hopper was just incinerated, but then they give you some hope that he wasn't. And I kind of wonder if they reserved that in the post-credit sequence to see if he was going to be a big star with the Hellboy movie.
Oh, you think?
Which,
just like kind of...
which didn't happen.
Holding on to their cards.
Well, I just wonder, because like, it's such a shit move to like have a fake-out death like that. You know, I wonder if like maybe it was going to be real, and now they realize, well, actually, he'll sign on again because Hellboy tanked.
Right, and the American, they're like, well, it could be Hopper, or it could be...
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Fuck, it could be Bob.
That also could have been Bob. A line they foleyed in as opposed to, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
easily.
Like later on.
Yeah, it was totally a little, like, it was clearly not the point of that scene. It was like just like a little, kind of like a nugget that you caught on the side. But
I thought Will's, it's interesting because they're all growing up, but Will just physically had the biggest leap.
Totally.
And growth spurt. He's not the little kid anymore. He's in that very much that awkward stage.
But I love the way they wrote him, where he was kind of hanging on to like youth and like being, you know, a nerdy kid hanging out in the basement.
It's very sweet.
And then he had to like, he kind of smashed up his fort and stuff, you know. And they even implied a little bit that he might be gay.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I thought was cool.
Yeah. Because he's the only one, you know, that everyone's paired off.
Right.
And even. Even Dustin, you know, has paired off with his...
internet girlfriend. Ham radio girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That was the original internet girlfriend.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and he's left alone. I thought it was a nice little character arc.
I agree.
It was good.
I think that was my thing overall. I thought there were lots of nice little character arcs. There was a lot of nice, beefy writing in this season that really developed and did right by these performances. You know, I thought it was really strong. You're right, though. I mean, maybe overall the story was a little hammy, but it was big. It was a fun, big, stupid, rollicking adventure.
Yeah,
you know?
It was. And they have more money now than ever, and it was clear. It was on screen. You know, bigger, better, more. So I get it. But at the same time, I was like, you know, when they were in the cabin and the Mind Flayer was sending its tentacles through the windows,
right.
It's like that thing could just smash that fucking cabin.
Well, of course.
In a second.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But then I was like, Chuck, shut up.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Let it happen.
Just let it happen. Ugh, I love Billy.
He was great.
Boy, he was really
sinister.
Bad in this
one.
Oh,
man. Yeah. He was already bad in the second season.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But then in this one, he even got, it was sort of a redemption arc, I guess, but it was like you kind of realized the shit that he went through that made him the shitty kid that he became, you know, and it was about his being neglected and his dad leaving and all that stuff. And I thought that was effective. And then when he actually does get killed, you felt something for him, as opposed to him just being a mindless shell of like a villainous, you know.
Well, yeah, you, foil you saw of, the background, you know, mm-hmm. and the fact that he was a boy who was hurt.
Right.
I thought the relationship with Eleven and Mike was very cute and sort of. At first, I was like, "Come on, man! Like, why did they even break up?" But then I remembered back to being that age, and like, sometimes you would break up because like you're like the smallest little thing, yeah. or you think your friends think you should break up,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, "Why are you even broken up?" And it's that age where none of it makes sense,
right? And especially for Eleven, who's only just starting to acclimate to like life as a normal teenager or whatever, it's extra kind of poignant for her, right?
Because she's for sure
way more susceptible to that stuff, but also at the same time, like, kind of comes from a different world than that. So it's interesting to see her kind of acclimate to all that stuff.
And she was being brought along by who was the other girl? I can never remember her name.
It's like a boy's name. What is it?
She's really great.
Yeah,
she's so good. And I thought that she, I thought those two hooking up, and you know, boys are gross. Like, boys are a waste of time. That whole like kind of subplot was kind of fun.
It was
and
fun.
Realistic.
It was fun.
So overall, like, I enjoyed it. I think
I did too.
I want more.
Well, then you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I want a season four.
Yeah.
I need to see. I think they're leaving Hawkins, which I think is a good move.
I think so.
If I'm not mistaken, I'm
Everyone moves at the end of the.
Yeah, they're going to Chicago, right?
Oh, I didn't catch that. Is that
true? I think that's the deal.
Interesting.
Is they're going? I mean, that's what you do when you live in Indiana.
Oh, I guess that's right.
Nowheresville, Indiana.
That's right.
You move to Chicago.
Move to Chicago, yeah. Chicagoland, USA.
That's right. I think I do want to see a city version of this and something a little bit bigger.
Well, they certainly got the budge for it.
But who all left at the end? Was it?
It was a lot.
It was, but who stayed behind is what I'm trying to figure
recall.
Out.
It almost felt like, I mean, yeah, I don't, gosh.
I think Nancy stays behind, right? Or does she go? Shit, I don't remember
I
now.
I don't remember either. I just know it was a big exodus. It was definitely Eleven and Will and Will's mom, because she's living with them now.
Joyce's family and a powerless Eleven prepare to move out of Hawkins.
Right.
Mike promises Elle that she will recover her powers. And, you know, when she gives her Hopper speech, I thought that was really nice.
It was very nice.
It was a nice way to end the season.
It was nice, too, because you didn't ever see him do the full version. You just saw him kind of stumble his way. It's the speech he gives to Eleven and Mike to be like, hey, pipe down, you kids. Get a room.
Yeah.
Don't get a room. But, like, there's a whole part at the end where he really, like, you know, puts it all on the table for how much he loves Eleven and all that.
Yeah, I'm feeling that's very now. Sweet. Well, I think that's all I have.
Yeah, same.
I enjoyed it. I want more Stranger Things. I don't want 8 seasons, though.
No, I think they're going to kill it after 4.
Are they?
That's what I heard.
Is it predetermined?
I think it might be.
I think that's a good idea. You know, you're on dodgy ground there with kids because, you know, I don't know if anyone wants to see these kids in their late teens or 20s.
Netflix tends towards shorter series as well.
Do they?
Like, even 4 seasons for a Netflix show is kind of a lot, and that shows how successful this is.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And I really want to see what the Duffers have in store for us next. This has kicked off. It had already kicked off, but I think this season in particular has kicked off an 80s wave because I saw the new American Horror Story. Have you seen the little teaser for that?
No.
It's AHS 85.
Oh, okay.
Or 84. And it is a summer camp slasher, like Friday the 13th motif.
Oh, fun. I'm into that.
Yeah. Even though it's getting sort of made fun of online because the teaser looked very much like Wet Hot American Summer. They're like, are we supposed to be laughing at this or scared?
Yeah, but that's the thing about American Horror Story. It's so schlocky. And it's
I only saw the first season of that. I didn't see anything else.
I kind of think that's the point, is like it's absurd.
Yeah.
It's over the top. Sometimes it's scary, but sometimes it's just like stupid.
Well, 80s mania is hit hard. And that is why, Noel, my band is doing an 80s new wave set at Porch Fest this year.
Nice.
In mid-October in our neighborhood in Atlanta.
Yeah, Oakhurst,
so,
right?
Yeah, I want to invite people out to that. Emily's got a keyboard, bought her a keyboard. She's learning synth, and we're doing Breakfast Club, and we're doing...
That's amazing. I want to go.
The Cars, Just What I Needed, and we're doing Psycho Killer, and... Don't You Forget About Me.
I have some synths, man. I can play some lead lines if you need me to back you guys up.
It's been a lot of fun. I got nothing else. You got anything else?
No, man. How many thumbs?
Out of how many? Five?
I think we do five.
You know what? I'm going to give it I'm going to give it 3.75 thumbs.
Got it. I'm going to go with a solid four thumbs.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
No, I think it was quite good.
Yeah. All right, everyone. We want to hear from you. Let us know what you thought about Stranger Things. And that's our crush to judgment.
See you next time.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.